I can say with the psalmist that it's glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It is good to be here. Our numbers are somewhat diminished, I suppose, because of people who haven't returned from the wedding yet. we sang somewhat about why we're here and asking God's blessing. That's been what's been in my thoughts. And I guess we would say, well, we know why we come together. I was looking at what it says about Jesus going into the synagogue and what he did and some of the things that happened and some of his exchanges with the Pharisees. Not going to be looking a lot at that, but somehow again, this time, several weeks ago, my mind turned to a song that we used to sing when I was growing up, and I can't really remember whether we sing it now regularly or not, but somehow it kind of brings feelings of nostalgia and associating with childhood and youth, and using the church and Sunday school hymnal, we now have met to worship thee and glorify thy name, dear Lord. Let everyone attentive be and heed the teachings of thy word. Assist thy servant to proclaim the gospel message plain and pure, that all who hear accept the same and heed the teachings of thy word. And making thee salvation sure. Times our memory fails us a bit. And then I was looking through the Gospels, and I saw that it says this about Jesus. I thought there was something in there about as was his custom, and we find that in Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And I think that's a custom for most of us, or perhaps all of us. It's our custom to go into the house of the Lord on this day of the week. And thinking about that a little bit, why do we come together? Customs are good. if they're good customs, I guess I could say it that way. The things that are customary for us to do become customs. Now, sometimes those things can simply be that, but then we want them to be more than just customs, something that we do because we do it at that time, but pay attention to the original reason or the reason that we should be coming together, and thought about, you know, habits. Habits are things that we end up doing almost without thinking. And the older we get, probably the harder it is to change a habit. I remember it's very inconsequential and not very important, but I remember here several years ago, I decided I'm going to put my wallet into my left pocket instead of my right, which I'd done for years and years and years because most times there's a button on the left side, and there's just a little less chance of it getting pushed out depending how I sit down or maybe on the tractor or something like that. Well, our habits, and sometimes we think of habits in a negative way, but you know, habits can be good habits. Now, if we just do things that are good and without thinking and without maybe the original reason, maybe they can lose their meaning. But which reminds me of what I read sometime, might have been in a quarterly years ago. I can't remember what it was, but they began to wonder, well, why are we meeting at this time, this hour on Sunday evening? And it had been several generations since there had been any farmers in the group, but they discovered the reason they started meeting at this particular time on Sunday evening was to accommodate the farmers. Well, there weren't any farmers in the group anymore, so I don't know whether they changed their time or not. But to do something just because we've done it sometimes needs re-examination. But we do need to guard against a reaction that says, well, if we're doing it this way and we really don't know why, it's just form, without understanding how it came to be. And so maybe there should be a little research as to how it came to be in the beginning. But also we need to guard against the idea that, well, it's probably just the safest way to just do it the way we've always done it. Kind of reminds me of the story that went something like this, and probably some of you have heard it too, that someone was asked a lady why she cuts her ham in half before she puts it in the oven to bake it. Well, that's the way I was taught to do it. And so she asked her mother why she taught her to do it that way. Well, that's the way my mother taught me to do it. And so they asked the grandmother, and the grandmother said, well, she laughed a little bit. She said, because I didn't have a pan big enough to put the whole thing in, so I cut it in half. Well, I don't know whether that's actually something that happened. But, you know, we do need sometimes to go back and say, what? How did this come to be? Now, why do we meet then? To worship and glorify your name is what the songwriter said. To heed the teachings of your word. You see, there's teachings. We're taught. Let's respond to those teachings. And as well, the scripture that says that we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but it says that we should exhort one another. We should encourage one another. That's a part of our coming together. And so there are responses to the word of God that we want to make, proper responses. I had thought last Sunday of mentioning when we were in the book of Jeremiah, and it was during the reign of this king named Jehoiakim. Didn't bring it out then, but I thought again of that picture from the Herald Press summer Bible school material of a fire in front of a king, and a king sitting there. And anyway, the account, it wasn't in that chapter that we were looking at, but the account was of a king that didn't like what he was hearing. It was a message that Jeremiah had dictated, and Barak had taken it to the king, and so the king would cut it and throw it in the fire, and then he'd read some more, and he'd cut it and throw it in the fire. Now, that was a very different response than his father had, King Josiah, when they were cleansing the temple after a very bad reign of his grandfather and his father, and the temple had fallen into disrepair, and they went to clean it up and to repair it, and they found a scroll, and it was read to Josiah, and Josiah was horrified at what is going to come on us, because this is what the book of the law says: if you do this, this will be the result, and if you do this, this will be the result. And when he saw that we're in for judgment, then he had a very different response than his son, who took and cut the message up and threw it in the fire. Now, if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 4, I'm going to just read there then some verses. And I'm not going to look at those scriptures that I also looked at, where Jesus had a discussion with the Pharisees different times about their criticism of things that his disciples were doing or things that he was doing on the Sabbath day. They did not consider that appropriate things to do on the Sabbath. And somehow they missed the point of the Sabbath entirely. And Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And he brought out that your attitude is more important than the things that are done and not done, and said things to them like, go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And see, I think there was another one that doesn't come to mind right at the moment. But notice the different responses then to the word of God in, or Jesus' teaching here in the synagogue, that we find in his own city of Nazareth, and to that we find in verse 15 and in verses 31 and 32, when it was at other places. It says here in Jesus, and this is Luke 4 and 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame from him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. That was the response in various places. And he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" But then when he said a few other things to him, their response was very different. And he said unto them, "Ye will say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in that country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a widow, woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." Now, here was their response to what Jesus said. "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst, went his way." And now notice a different kind of response. "And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Well, we've come back, or coming back to the song, "Fill every heart with love divine, teach every tongue thy praise to sing. Help each to say, 'Lord, we are thine, and all we have to thee we bring.'" So, why are we here? I hope it's more than just custom. Custom is fine. I hope it's more than just habit, and habit is fine, if it's the right kind of habit. But all we have to thee we bring, the songwriter put it. So we're here to bring. We're here to give. We're here to receive. And then may we respond to what we receive. Let's kneel. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that it is to come together this way. And now as we open up your words, sit together, discuss it in the next minutes, open up your word to us, and then bless the brother that will bring the message, and help us again then to have ears to hear and to respond to your word. Bless each part of the service for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name.